Bibles, we're going to be looking at, if you want to get to John chapter 1, it's not the normal passage that you look at for Resurrection Sunday, but I think you'll see where we're going. And we were able to email the outline for this morning and this evening, so you should be able to follow along. This morning we're going to be speaking about the miracle of the resurrection, the passage we read at the beginning in Matthew 28. Says, and the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. There's a five-year-old girl that returned from Sunday school class and was asked by her mother what she had learned from the Easter Sunday school lesson. And the daughter quickly retold the details of the death and the burial of Christ. And then she came to the good part, she said. The little girl said that an angel came and visited outside the tomb, and Jesus from inside yelled, I want out of this hole. Now, the little girl may have misunderstood a little bit of what was happening, but she got the point that Christ came out of the tomb, and it is empty. Around the globe, especially at this time, on hundreds of fronts, medicine is trying to wage war on sickness and death. Many years ago, in medical history, in 1967, in Cape Town, Africa, Dr. Christian Barnard, so this was many, many years ago, 1967, he completed the first ever heart transplant. In the late 1970s, the invention of a procedure called angioplasty, was designed that would help save countless millions of lives as they refine ways to detect heart problems. In the late 2000s, the medical world developed devices that could transmit pertinent data of medical importance to so that someone monitoring these devices could detect an upcoming health catastrophe and hopefully prevent it. All of these innovations were done for one thing: to prevent the inevitable, and that is death. In London, England, Dr. Alexander Comfort was the director of research at University College, and this is what he said many years ago. We hope to find a technique for interfering with human aging within the next 4 to 5 years. This was in the late 70s, early 80s that he said this. We hope to find a technique for interfering with human aging within the next 4 to 5 years. Not for stopping the process, but for slowing it down. Yes, science has made much progress, but death is still our greatest enemy. You see this right now with the panic of the COVID-19. Most have not realized the fact, though, that as humans, we begin to die the moment we are born. Death is for everyone. It's an inescapable fact of life. But there is hope. Why? Because nearly 2,000 years ago, a body lay in a tomb. And excuse me. The Easter lilies are attacking. But there is hope. Nearly 2,000 years ago, a body lay in the tomb and was raised to life. And because Jesus Christ rose, you too can know the certainty of the resurrection. This is the good news of Easter and the basic message that we find that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 when he says this, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The Bible is clear, and it testifies to us that there is a resurrection. Let me give you just a few verses as we begin, and then we'll get to our text in John chapter 1. Let me give, again, a few scriptures. In John chapter 6 and verse 38, Jesus is speaking after he fed the multitude of 5,000 men, and he had fed them, and then the disciples, he's talking to them, and this is what he says in John 6:38, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which he hath sent me, that all of which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Later in the text, in verse 44, he says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. In John chapter 11, when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, and here Mary and Martha were concerned about Lazarus. And Jesus says in John 11 in verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto her, unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Jesus said also in John 14, in verse 19, when he was talking in the upper room with the disciples, he said, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Romans chapter 4, Paul is talking and using Abraham as an example of salvation, and that Abraham trusted in by faith in the righteousness and gained righteousness because of the faith in Christ Jesus to come. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Notice the illustration that Paul is bringing to us in Romans chapter 4. He's indicating to us the deadness of Abraham and the deadness of Sarah's womb, showing that there was an impossibility. Death was there. And in verse 20 in Romans chapter 4, Paul, talking again of Abraham, said, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded, what he had promised he was able also to perform. The last two verses of Romans chapter 4 says, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. This is what I can stand and tell you here this morning, that Jesus Christ is risen, and because of that, we can have justification through Jesus Christ our risen Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says this, and this is a longer passage that we read many times on Resurrection Sunday. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul, talking about the resurrection, says in verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is in vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, who he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. The Bible also says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Then also in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, Philippians 3:10 says this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Colossians 1:18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And let me just pause there, because it says here in Colossians 1:18 that he is the firstborn from the dead. And you would say, well, wait a minute. There was other people like Lazarus that was raised from the dead. There was other people in the Old Testament. We can think of Elijah that came and he was able to touch somebody and they raised him from the dead, or Elisha, or even you go to other folks in the Bible and you see him raised to the dead. But the difference was, and it may be a little depressing for Lazarus, because Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he was heading back to the tomb. Christ was raised from the dead, and he's never been back. Jesus Christ is alive, and he sits at the right hand of the Father today. Praise the Lord for his resurrection. As you can see through Scripture that we have read, this is something factually claimed by the Word of God. Christ arose. There is a story told, about a man that had an experience during World War II. There was a soldier that lay wounded at the battlefield. He had been given up for dead. And as life slowly and painfully returned, he thirsted for water. No one answered his cries as he cried out for water. No one attended his wounds. And after a day or so, he slipped into unconsciousness. When he awoke, he noticed that there was a chaplain that was sitting above him. He was bending over him. And finally, he recognized that the young man was awake and he was alive. And he looked at him and he says, "Hey, son, were you wounded?" And the soldier looked at him and he said, "I was wounded on Friday." He said, I believe that was Good Friday. And so the chaplain looked at him and said, "Well, look at that. You were wounded on Good Friday, and you've been lying on the battlefield ever since. Do you know that it's Easter morning?" And the soldier looked at the chaplain and he said, "How wonderful. For me too, it is like a resurrection. Out there on the battlefield, I died 1,000 deaths, but somehow we don't mind the crucifixion when we are sure of a resurrection." And praise the Lord that today, although our Savior, and we do look back during this week and we know that Jesus Christ died a horrible death on the cross, but praise the Lord, Sunday came and the tomb was empty. We're going to open in prayer in just a moment, and then we're going to look at our text in John chapter 1. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning as we consider the miracle of the resurrection, I pray that it would be evident to us, Lord, that because of Christ's resurrection, there is hope for us as sinners. Lord, and our sin-laden bodies, as we are born in sin, the Bible tells us that because of our sin, the wages of it is death. Well, Lord, we thank the Lord for Christ, our Savior, who came and he bore our sin, bore him to Calvary, and then, Lord, he defeated death and sin, and there is hope in heaven for us when we trust in Christ, our resurrected Savior. I pray that you would give wisdom and guidance this morning, lead and guide. I pray that you would help our thoughts, lead our thoughts, Lord. I pray, as always, you would speak to hearts, and then, Lord, we ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at John chapter 1, and in verses 1 through 4, we're going to look at three miracles in John chapter 1. Three miracles. First of all, the majestic miracle in John chapter 1 and verse 1 through 4. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Here we see the majestic miracle. And what's the majestic miracle? In the beginning was the Word. No force or personality other than God could ever have produced the meticulously accurate system that our universe has. If you think, those of you that have studied a little bit of science, you know a little bit as far as some of the sciences, whether it's physics or chemistry or geology or botany, and you study and you look at the intricate detail that is there on our earth, nobody but God could ever have produced this. Gravity and speed and all kinds of other things come together, and they can be so accurately calculated that a man-made object can be figured down to minute details when sent out into space, and they can track different things down to minute detail. And why is that? Because of the majestic miracle that in the beginning God was there and he created this world. That is a majestic miracle that we find in John chapter 1. But then, when you go down in the text, in verse 10, we see a magnificent miracle. And what is that? In verse 10, it says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What's the magnificent miracle? That the Word became flesh. Our text here is speaking of Christ's incarnation. Yes, and I know that's a big word. And throughout sometimes messages, we speak and we reference big theological words such as incarnation, redemption, regeneration, reconciliation, substitutionary death, propitiation. These words are necessary. Right? It's important for us to know these words. Why? Because they are important to us in our theology. It's important for us that we don't just chuck those ideas, because it is important that our theology be sound in Bible, in our Bible thought and doctrine. These words are necessary for us to understand and use. And so the Bible says that God announced to common people, Mary and Joseph, that a child born to this young maiden would be the Redeemer of the world. We find that in the book of Matthew and in Luke. And the shepherds, and they believed this word, and they accepted this miracle. Then the shepherds came, and they saw the babe in the manger and worshipped him. Wise men came and worshipped this Christ child. The political and religious enemies of God's redemptive work believed in this Christ, and they moved to annihilate him. God believed in this Christ, and they moved, or God himself proclaimed Christ's deity when Jesus stood with John the Baptist in the Judean desert and Christ was baptized in the Jordan River. This magnificent miracle was necessary because man had chosen to go against God and the first man named Adam. Let me read a passage in Romans chapter 5. And in Romans chapter 5, the Bible says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. There, and we go earlier in Romans chapter 5, and it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice and hope the glory of God. And then it goes down and it says this, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The magnificent miracle is that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Here is the miracle that we have, and that is that Jesus Christ left heaven's home, and he set aside his glory, he set aside all that majesty, and he took upon him the form of a servant. And in Philippians 2, it says that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The magnificent miracle is that Jesus Christ became flesh. And because of Jesus Christ becoming flesh, there's an illustration that is found in Scripture. It says that we were reconciled. If you have a checkbook and you get a bank statement and the balance doesn't agree with yours, there's a problem. There has to be reconciliation. The word reconciliation means that we have to get something, two things that are out of sorts, and they have to come together. They have to be reconciled. The only way to get reconciled in the checkbook is to find out where the problem is. In the checkbook, you have to find out why your numbers are not matching up. When the bank balances don't match, we don't just throw up our hands and say, hey, it'll all work out. We work to find the error and fix it. Jesus Christ came in flesh to be the fixer. He came to fix the error of our reconciliation to God. We had a sin problem, and as man, we could not fix it. We couldn't just come up and say, hey, it'll all work out. No, it won't. He left heaven and became flesh and lived a perfect, sinless life to bring a balance to man's checkbook. Christ came, and he brought reconciliation to us. So then we come to our third, and this is the longer point. In John chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5, so we saw a majestic miracle, and that is found in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. That is God's creation, the dawn of creation. And then in verse 14, the Word was made flesh. That's a magnificent miracle. And what do we mean by that? That it was the dawn of Jesus Christ coming here on earth. But then we have the mightiest miracle, and that's found in John chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Then we go to verse 14, and there's a parenthesis in our King James Bible. It says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Remember, the writer of the book of John is John the Apostle. I believe this parenthesis is referencing an event that happened when John was here on the earth. One of the accounts is recorded in Matthew 17. It says in Matthew 17, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. I believe John is referencing this in verse 14. He says, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What is the mightiest miracle? That Jesus Christ came here. Yes, he created the worlds, and that is a majestic miracle. And yes, it was a magnificent miracle, and that Jesus came down as a babe, and he took upon him the form of a servant. But then, the mightiest miracle is that our Savior not only came and he was here on earth, but he died for our sins, and then he conquered sin by coming up out of the tomb. Praise the Lord for his resurrection. The mightiest miracle is that we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. The resurrection of Jesus is the mightiest miracle. And there's a reason for this. I read a few verses in Romans chapter 5, and I want to give you just 4 quick points about this mightiest miracle. It is the mightiest miracle, the resurrection of our Savior, because damnation was halted. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And then it comes down in verse 15, but not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Then it continues on in this passage in Romans chapter 5. It says in verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And then it continues, I believe the thought continues in Romans 6, where it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And then it says in verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism to death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. It says in verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Damnation was halted by Jesus coming up out of the tomb. The first two miracles began with new material. However, this miracle restored and perfected that which the world had marred and debased. Jesus Christ on the cross was pierced. He was crowned with a crown of thorns. He was spit upon. The Bible says that his body was marred. It was bruised. He was wounded for our iniquities. But Jesus Christ, when he came up out of the tomb, had a new body. That resurrection showed that God was able to take something that was marred, something that was beat up, and he was able to make it anew. And that is hope for you and I. Why? Because we live in a sin nature, a sin flesh. And what does the resurrection teach you and I? It teaches us and it gives us hope because Jesus Christ, God, empowered through the resurrection, he was able to take a body and make it new again. This picture is for you and I. It pictures the amazing wonder of our salvation. We that have been marred in sin can take hope this morning in the power of the resurrection. God can take that which is flawed and sinful and produce new life. Damnation was halted. Secondly, deity was established. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. When Christ came out of the tomb, he proved that he was deity. He proved that he was God. And now that is why in Philippians chapter 2, it says that Jesus was given a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And so what is the Bible establishing for us? The Bible is showing us that the miracle of the resurrection is the mightiest miracle because damnation was halted, deity was established, and then, praise the Lord, death was conquered. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 2, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read some of this earlier, but in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20, it says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Remember that idea of the firstborn or the firstfruits. The idea is Jesus Christ is the first to raise from the dead, never to go back into the tomb, never to die again. Death was conquered. Christ was different from all other deaths. Lazarus, yes, he was raised again from the dead, but sadly he had to die again. How depressing. He was given life, but he had to face death again. Christ is the first fruits. The idea is that Christ is the first to never die again. He is alive forevermore. But then lastly, in this idea of the mightiest miracle and the resurrection, it not only halted damnation, and it also proves the deity of God, but it also shows to us that heaven is possible. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 42, it says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in the corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body." There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so our spiritual body will be raised someday. And Jesus told his disciples this in John chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Through the majestic miracle, God brought us into being for the purpose of having fellowship with him. However, man stopped this purpose in the Garden of Eden when he chose his own path instead of obeying God's word. Through the magnificent miracle, God revealed himself as a loving, caring father who sent his only begotten son to reclaim us and win back from our sinful wandering and rescue us from judgment. But through the mightiest miracle, God has made available perfect redemption, reconciliation, sanctification in this life, and then perfect sanctification in heaven. We are promised eternal life, not just this life here, but a resurrected life. Because he lives, I can live eternally also. Praise the Lord. The Easter message tells us that our enemies, sin, the curse, and death, are beaten. They still behave as though the game were not decided. The battle still seems to be fought. We must still reckon with them sometimes. However, fundamentally, we must cease to fear death anymore. Why? Because of Christ's resurrection. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, because he lives, we shall live also. And it may be that our physical bodies may come to a point that they have to be put in a grave. Our physical bodies here on this earth may die. But rest assured, because Christ rose from the dead and he is sitting, ever living, seated in heaven next to God the Father, you can take comfort in knowing that if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you too have eternal life. One man wrote this poem. He said, "He lives. The great Redeemer lives. What joy this blessed assurance gives. And now before his Father God, he pleads the merits of his blood. Away, ye dark, despairing thoughts, above our fears, above our faults. His powerful intercessions rise, and guilt recedes, and terror dies. Great Advocate, almighty Friend, on thee our humble hope depends. Our cause can never, never fail, for thou dost plead and must prevail. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply. Alleluia. Lives again our glorious King. Alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Alleluia. Once he died our souls to save. Alleluia. Where's thy victory, boasting grave? Alleluia. Soar we now where Christ has led? Alleluia. Following our exalted head, Hallelujah. Made like him we rise. Hallelujah. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies. Hallelujah. Christ the Lord is risen today. Maybe you're here this morning, you may be a guest, or it may be that you have come here often over the years. And the resurrection, you see people coming and talking about it. Maybe this past week you saw a bunch of talk about Easter services, and what's the big deal about Easter? What is the big deal about Easter? If you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have not come to understand under a Christ the magnificent miracle and that Jesus Christ was made flesh and dwelt among us, if you did not understand that Jesus, through Jesus coming and becoming as man and taking our penalty on the cross, we celebrate this past week, some call it the Passion Week, and you will see all across the world, you'll see people carrying crosses, see people crawling on their knees sometimes. And they don't understand that they are serving a crucifix. They bow to a crucifix. But a crucifix is not going to get you to heaven. Crossing yourself is not going to get yourself to heaven. Doing some sacraments is not going to get you to heaven. You must understand that there is an empty tomb. And an empty tomb says this, that Jesus Christ died for my sins. He died for your sins. And that you trusting in Jesus Christ and understanding when he came out of the tomb, he rose victorious. Sin no longer had a hold on anybody here on this earth. Why? Because you can trust in Jesus Christ and in his blood. And his blood can wash you from sin. Jesus, we sing a song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And this morning, I challenge you, sitting in your car, if you have never had a time where you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you never have come to that point where you understand that Jesus, not you plus Jesus, not Jesus plus church membership, not Jesus plus doing something else. It was only Jesus. Jesus, only Jesus can save your soul. And it may be that this morning you now understand that Jesus came down from glory and he became flesh and he died for your sins, and it didn't stop there. What proved for us and gives us hope is that on this Sunday, and really every Sunday, we celebrate resurrection. Because Jesus rose from the dead, I can take hope that sin was conquered, death was defeated. Christ the Lord is risen today. It may be, as we mentioned already, that you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I would ask you, maybe you came with somebody, maybe you could see somebody after the service today, you could call them or text them, go over to their house. We would love to introduce you to Christ, the risen Lord. Jesus Christ, we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday, the mightiest miracle of all. Yes, there is a great miracle in creation. And there is a great miracle in Jesus coming down to this earth. But the mightiest miracle was not just that Jesus went to the cross, but that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. May it be that as Christians here today, and in just a moment we're going to have the piano play softly, and in our cars, we can just take a moment. And maybe it is that you have not really, as a Christian, you have not taken the resurrection of our Savior to be that important. May it be that today in your car, as we just take a moment to pray, that you can thank the Lord and thank Christ that he is risen. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, please find one of us, catch one of us, catch the person that maybe you came with. And we'd love to share with you how Jesus Christ can be your Savior. I'm going to pray, and then we're just going to have the piano play softly for just about a minute. And if God dealt with your heart today about the resurrection as a Christian, I challenge you, just take a moment. Thank the Lord for Christ. We did not deserve Christ coming down to this earth. We did not deserve anything. We deserved hell. But in His mercy and in His grace, Christ came down. And remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, as the crucifixion loomed ahead, and He sweat as it was great drops of blood, it says. And I believe that there was a pressure there. I believe that all of Satan and all of his minions were coming against Jesus. And what does Jesus say? Not my will, but thine be done. And He headed to Calvary for you and I. And He bore that shame so that we could have salvation. Praise the Lord that we can set aside a day to celebrate not just His death, not just seeing Christ on a cross, but we can celebrate an empty tomb. Heavenly Father,